We got some good shit here. Good shit, pal. Good shit, pal.
Oh, good.
There's some good shit here.
Good. I'm sorry. Good.
Go ahead and share all this. Share all this monster goodness.
Oh yeah. So we talk about the live stuff here. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, we should talk about live, and then we'll go into. You're getting fired up here.
I'm sorry, man. It just kind of rolled up into this.
This is what the fucking podcast is for.
I know, but it just kind of started just like boom out of the bat. I was going to tell you stuff before the podcast, but I'll tell you after. But anyway, yeah, live. You know, you and I. Let's talk about that first match in the first round of that tournament, that Queens tournament thing.
Zelina Vega against Toni Storm, and I was texting you, and I go, mm-hmm. Well, they really owe Zelina Vega one because she got fucked over pretty bad on that 9/11 show, that pre 9/11 show at Madison mm-hmm. Square Garden, where they pulled her, and then of course the next day she's out there reading the name of her, you know, her dead father and stuff, and so you're like. They kind of owe her one, and you were like, right. I think they're going to push Toni Storm down, and then boom.
So, and like 2 minutes later, 1, 2, 3. So, yeah. So it kind of started there.
Yeah.
And then the next match was Carmella and Liv. And I'm thinking, what did you go with Carmella on this? Is that what you said? Or
I said that Liv needs it. I mean, I'm getting bored with Carmella getting all of this stuff. And we were talking before we just started the podcast about how, you know, they've completely screwed over Liv, and now that the Riot Squad has been broken up and Ruby's killing it over in AEW and she's like, when, you know, the talk of the town, they can't figure out what to do with Liv. I thought they were going to try to make her into the sexy person, and now she kind of looks like a junior varsity version of Alexi at this point. I mean, a little bit is what they're trying to do.
A little bit. I mean, they don't really know that her character, man. Her character is just kind of.
They don't know.
That's the thing. You don't.
Hey, this just in. The varsity version of Lexi ain't working that well. I'm sorry.
No. You're right. but Liv, yeah. So, you know, and the next match was Liv and Carmella, and you said that, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I can see them finally pushing her now, you know. Finally. So, and lo and behold, she loses to Carmella, and I'm like, what the hell?
There goes that.
So then I'm started paying a little more attention to Twitter and stuff to see what other people were thinking, because to me, that was obvious. There was something going on. What? And the thing that made me think, okay, now there's no storyline here. There's no be sympathetic toward. Live storyline going on here, like you know what I'm saying, like the underdog kind of thing. You didn't get that vibe or the verbiage from the announcers, so you knew something wasn't right, right? I did. I mean, I thought that's what I'm saying. And I thought it was obvious. So I started looking around and I saw a few things, and then I saw this thing about and I know a lot of people follow Liv on social media, Instagram particularly. And I think it was Instagram, actually, that Laurinaitis pulled her back aside, apparently, supposedly, theoretically, and said to her, this is prior to the Carmella match, prior to the tournament thing, and said, all right, need to, you know, nip this in the bud right now. No more, you know, hanky-panky here with fucking with Britt Baker.
Dr. Britt Baker at DMV.
Dr. Britt Baker, yeah, from the enemy, you know. The people that don't matter. Remember the organization that doesn't matter.
By the way, Johnny Ace, this is the problem with the organization, is that your people are consorting on social media with somebody else from another organization. That is the big problem in World Wrestling Entertainment right now. Thank God you're on top of it, John.
Thank God. I know. I mean, they brought you back for a damn reason, right?
He's fucking Barney. He's like the Barney Fife for the WWE. I'll tell you what, citizens arrest. Citizens arrest. They're going to have out there. We got to nip it in the bud.
But this is what this reminds, you know what it reminds me of? I'm going to harken back. I know we don't ever do that around here.
Days of
to the good old days of yesteryear.
Join us on the porch with the two old white guys.
Pull it up, you know, pull up the, you know, we need to have a music like queued up every time we start talking about old days, you know, like old days by Chicago or some shit, you know, just
like that music that they would have on the Little Rascals, that little scratch. Yes. Shit on the Little Rascals. That's all we need.
Oh God, that's perfect. So this reminds me of like the old days of like when there were three networks, like CBS, ABC, NBC, pre-Fox, I mean, cable and all that. So it was just those three networks. So it was like rare to have anybody mention a show or, God forbid, the network letters on another network. Like if you're on CBS, you better not say NBC or ABC.
Yeah. Some people won't remember this, but like Johnny Carson would have somebody on from like, he'd have Joyce DeWitt or something on, and he would say it's on another network. He wouldn't even say it's on ABC. Like
it was in a medical facility. That's where it was. So this, and I think it even goes further than that, because, you know, these are the networks getting all pissed off about it, because these actors, they can't help. They can't. I'm going to try to get through this with this plan. I don't know if I can.
Well, that's why Battle of the Network Stars was such a special night for all of us when we were kids.
Thank you. It just doesn't have the appeal now, but it did then. And God damn it. It just, you know, so it goes further than that. When the networks see these stars that maybe do that and they reprimand it, but see, the stars can't help it. They've worked with these other people on other networks before. They can't help what network they're on. They're just trying to get a gig, right?
Yeah.
It's not like they're rooting for the network. Of course, they're rooting for the network that they're particularly on, because that's where the paycheck's coming from. But it's not like they, you know what I'm saying? And it's kind of that way in wrestling. It's because all these guys know each other, but they can't help where they're at. That's where their gig is. Yeah. And you're going to, you know, getting all,
can't be doing that on Instagram.
come on, man. I mean, has it really come to that?
You might want to worry about like the talent that you're bleeding right now, Johnny Ace, instead of this. This might be the
might want to look at that. Might want to give out a look-see.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because it's like we always hear these stories about Vince looking for his Mighty Mouse, and Liv Morgan could be a tremendous Mighty Mouse kind of thing, right? But then who's that huge motherfucker, Mace or whatever the guy's name was the other night?
Brennan Williams used to be Dio Madden on the announce team on Raw.
Good God. He looks like he's like a larger version of Damian Priest or something. He's massive.
But see, the thing about him is he's always beside Mace. So he looks, Mace is huge too. So it's like Dijakovic. So, I mean, big he is.
I need a Mighty Mouse. And we signed like guys like him and Omos and shit, just like looking like they're skyscrapers and shit. And you can't, you know, it's, I can't wait. By the way, the conversation with Omos, I can't wait till we get the Keith Lee conversation. God damn, it can't work. Send him down to Florida. Teach him how to work. Because you definitely want Omos like doing her.
It almost become like almost the Jaguar Jones.
I definitely need Omos doing Suicida planches and shit like that. There's no question. You're an idiot. No, he does like five things and he picks guys up and slams them, and that's it. I'm sorry.
Unreal, man.
That would have been great. Yeah. Like Andre the Giant back in the day. God damn it. Why can't he do sliced bread number two? you don't need that. He's a massive guy. That's not what we need. So,
it's not his role.
I think they were talking about that on the Cornette podcast again. Is like the WWE is just handing this war to AEW. Just like, here, take it. We can't handle it. Just go ahead, take all of our stars, make them into, you know, bigger stars, and then I do have to, I will say this about Tony Khan was taunting WWE because they're going to be head to head on Friday with SmackDown for like half an hour because SmackDown's going to FS1 and then Rampage is going to be on.
It's like, just one of those weird things, right? So yeah,
and it's like, why are you? I mean, and Tony Khan's like, I can't wait. It's going to be great competition. Like, why do you do that? I mean, I'm like, my God, what a piece of shit that guy is. How can you? You're supposed to be above that. You're not supposed to taunt and stuff like that. Jesus Christ. Again.
So you took that as taunting? Did he taunt? Did he actually taunt? I haven't read this.
He's a billionaire. Why does he even give a shit about it? I look forward to competing against you for half an hour.
So he just comes out and says this. He just comes out and says this. Nobody asked him about it. He just voluntarily says this.
It's spontaneously offered on Twitter. You know, like you're not a 15-year-old kid, dude. Yeah. You're a billionaire that's running like two things. And on that note, I think the Jaguars are actually losing, so I have to address something because I've been making fun of the Jaguars and their
little situation. Yeah, I noticed that. I've
been making fun of their little situation with Urban Meyer, and something happened with my team. And John Gruden, they found some really awful racist tropes from 2011 email. It's not excusable, and his excuse was pretty bad. And I don't know.
I was younger back in my younger days.
Well,
he was when he was 35 or whatever, 45.
And he wasn't even in the league, which makes it even weirder that he would go after this guy. And then the head of the NFL Players Association is a black guy, and he made a comment about the guy having lips as big as the Michelin Man, which is, you know, pretty ugly, racist imagery.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's awful shit, and I won't in any way excuse it or anything like that. And then he said something like he's always considered people who lie to have rubber lips, and I'm like, John, just stop. Just stop fucking digging your hole. And now apparently there was he said something inappropriate or cursing about Roger Goodell, but I don't think it was nearly as awful or as racist as that. So people have been like, see, and I don't know what the appropriate punishment is. The NFL, it looks like, will not dole out punishment because this happened when he was working for ESPN. But I mean, I think it's appropriate for Mark Davis to do something, because I believe there might be a couple of gentlemen in the locker room who might have some questions.
I imagine so.
I would, if I was a player for the Raiders and I had a different pigment of skin than I do, I might be like, hey, you know about that email?
Excuse me, sir. The guy who tells me what to do every day. Could I ask you a question?
$10 million a year coach. Let me ask you a question here about this old big lips situation.
Indulge me.
Yeah, we need to talk just a hair about this, if you don't mind, playa. So I don't see. I hope and I've always been particularly proud of the organization, because this was the first team to hire a black head coach. This was the first team to have a Hispanic head coach. First team that had a female president. So they've always been very progressive in their thinking.
I believe you met the Hispanic head coach. Am I wrong?
I did. It was a lovely man, dapper, just went into the Hall of Fame. They got him in before he died. So kudos on improving on the Kenny Stabler situation.
Nice job on that one. Yeah.
You did. I always like to point out that Tom Flores has exactly as many rings as a head coach as Bill Parcells does. But, you know, again, that's besides the point.
Never mind that fact.
So I believe Mark Davis would be well within his rights to serve. I think let's start with a 4-game suspension. You go home for a month, and those paychecks that you would get for your $10 million a year salary, I don't know how we divide that by 17 or whatever, and then we send that to a foundation that helps Black Lives Matter, or the George Floyd Foundation, or something. Yeah. That's a start. Let's start with that. And then let's open up a conversation, and then we'll go from there. I don't think the man needs to be dismissed. But again, if Mark Davis did dismiss him, you know, okay, fine. I'm not gonna, oh my God, it's so bad. Chucky's gone. No, I'm not doing that. Of course, the dream would be for John Gruden.
I'm glad you said that as a Raider fan. I'm glad you said that.
Oh, I'm not going to be like these other assholes. You know, Kobe Bryant raped somebody. Fuck that bitch, man. You're fucking lying on Kobe. I'm like, no. The colors are silver and black. It's a made up nickname. It's only been around for like 60 years. I get it. It's somebody I like. It's not something I have to worship. I don't sleep with it under my pillow. And if one of them fucks up, they fuck up. You have to own that, just because it's not part of your identity. I mean, you know, while we're at it, if somebody in my family murders somebody, I'd be like, oh, fuck that. That's a Whitmire you're talking about. That. No, he murdered somebody. Fuck, the guy got to go to jail. You got to go to death row. Sorry. You know, that's how that works. So
I know.
The dream now is, you know, obviously John Gruden gets fired and Urban Meyer gets hired. That would be the dream now in Vegas. So
it's like, when are people going to wake up and see this right in front of their eyes? I mean, please.
I know the Urban Meyer thing to me feels like stupidity. To me,
it feels like it.
Feels like it. I can't
like say like a stupidity isn't like, I kind of messed up on this one time thing in my life. Well, that kind of stupidity.
No, I kind of got caught doing shit I've been doing for a long time.
Okay. I got you.
That's the kind of the stupidity is like, I lecture young men to watch their step, and I didn't realize that this little phone that's in this person's hand could transmit a picture and video around the world to people that might embarrass me.
How about that? 2021. Hello.
And I saw the video that I saw yesterday was even better. The girl involved is getting all of these threats and stuff, you know, because people in Ohio are awesome. And
right.
God. And the bar where she was grinding on him, and he totally had his hand on her ass. There's like a large picture, like poster sized of Urban and his wife, like embracing after a national championship at Ohio State or something. You can't.
So appropriate.
So the girl is now in trouble. And like the people she works for are like, I don't know. I'm not really sure if she's going to be here much longer, but we can't comment on it. I'm like, oh, this would be great. The $12 million a year coach, he skates through on this thing. But the 20-year-old or the 22-year-old chick that was dancing on him, she gets fired. That would be fantastic, right?
Funny how that works. Funny how that works.
That would be nice. That would be a really good exclamation point to this entire shit sandwich right here.
You know, right. You know, it's like you talk about the camera thing. Well, that's, you know, the how far we've come in 2021 with cameras and everything. And then there's the 2021 of the 20-year-old girl getting blamed for everything. So, you know, some things just never change.
It's true. But if you're, again, the stupidity of it is like a 57-year-old man, you know, not being aware enough or being too drunk or whatever to understand. The thing that people I've been reading about, people who played in the league are like, I can't believe he didn't fly home with the team. That never happens. That just never happened. Like if the coach has like an emergency appendectomy, you don't fly home with the team. Otherwise,
right.
And the team, by the way, was 0-4. They played their best game of the year against Cincinnati, lost, I think, in overtime or at the last minute or something. Anyway, they were 0-4. And then he says, I'm just gonna unwind for a minute and hang out with the grandkids. You see any grandkids in that video, by the way?
Nah, I sure didn't.
Saw some people that looked old enough to be his grandkids, but I didn't see
any. What was the name of that place? What was it? That was fun. It was a funny name. I just started laughing.
The Pump House or something? Urban,
something like that. I was like, oh my God, that's so appropriate too. That in the damn picture.
This is the story. The New Horizon Media Group, a marketing company headquartered in Ohio, told USA Today it had begun an internal probe into the female employee after she was filmed dancing near the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach at the Urban Chop House. Urban Chop House is the name of the restaurant in Columbus, Ohio.
See, I thought it was like, if it's a chop house, like the chop house I'm thinking, like the nice steak place. That didn't look like a nice steak place to me.
No,
maybe I didn't see. That's what I thought. Like a bar, like a nightclub or something. I don't know. Maybe it was the bar at this place. I don't know.
And then this mother of woman in Urban Meyer viral video speaks out. I'm worried about her emotional status. And the woman is 24 years old. So Urban Meyer is 57 years old.
So, okay, I'm not going to say the 24-year-old is completely innocent here. You know,
no, but I don't think she should also have like a ton of bricks fall on her either. I mean,
No. She should have known if she knew exactly who this dude was, and pretty good chance she knew he was married. Maybe not. Maybe she didn't know who he was. I don't know.
A ring. I don't know if there's a ring on his finger or not. Plus that Ohio
State. That's true.
That sweet Ohio State pullover, that quarter zip that he had on. That's pretty nice.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
Jesus. But my point would be I can blame Urban Meyer's thing on stupidity. I can't really blame John Gruden's thing on stupidity. I mean, racism is stupid. But that
yes, it is.
That doesn't feel like something stupid that you did in the moment. That feels like something that was in your heart that came out, you know?
Yeah, and these guys like Hogan and stuff that come out and say it was a one-time thing, and sometimes exactly. I can't believe I did that. And man, Hogan handled it
in the worst possible way. Because Hogan
possible remember, way.
You know, his initial thing was when I grew up, we used to call each other nigga all the time. I'd call my white friends. I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you fucking didn't.
In 1970, you're
not walking around Tampa calling your boy my nigga. You're not doing that. That's not happening, you dumb son of a bitch. That was not a thing that you did in 1970, 71 down in Tampa. And then it was almost like the Cornette thing. Cornette was like, when he got in that fight up in Wise, Virginia, he goes, I was just in a cuss fight, goddammit. And I just called somebody the worst thing I could. I don't know. It's like, no, that's
it. Yeah, you did. Well, no, yeah, you did. You are correct on that.
But it was
on that particular point. Yeah, you did. So let's talk about that.
And he said, the rules of the cuss fight are you just say whatever. I'm like,
No, you don't do that. That's
in your heart, dude. That's something that you were doing. So you can't really excuse it with like, it wasn't stupidity on Gruden's part, man. He's got some soul searching, and he's fucking working for ESPN, and he's pissed off about a lockout.
Are you that pissed off about a lockout?
You're not even in the league, dude. ESPN's gonna still write you the checks. What the fuck? Maybe if there's a lockout, you won't get a couple of checks, but you're okay.
During
that period of time, I think he was the highest paid guy at ESPN. I think he was like probably, number one.
Probably. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why he got the gig that he got when he come out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he got so popular on there. But you know, it's just like we're talking about the Hogan and anybody else. It's like you hear these one thing that they said, but come on now.
Yeah.
How many really have they said that nobody else heard except a few people around them, you know?
I mean, I'm fully of the opinion that nobody's perfect. Everybody has had
right
moments. Everybody has told like a racist joke or laughed at a racist joke or something like that. I'm not saying any of that because I even think anybody of any there's nobody perfect. I'm sorry.
Right. Oh, I know. Trust me, I know. Believe me. I agree.
But also, it's like once you realize, you know, how harmful this imagery and stuff is, you certainly don't write in a fucking email. It's like, hey, here's something great. I have a problem with this other person, so let me go to the most racist thing I can possibly say. let me put it in writing so it'll be on a server forever.
Let me reach way down in this barrel here.
Can't you just just do what we do is you insult their intelligence. I don't understand. You insult their intelligence and perhaps their manhood.
It's more fun.
I was wondering what we were going to talk about, and then I was like, oh, shit. The Brian Last stuff is fantastic. The Brian Last stuff to me was the most fantastic stuff. So he's been teasing this shit since like, I think July about the story he's going to tell about why John Arezzi and Ron Fuller are no longer part of the Arcadian Vanguard network. Right.
Okay. Okay. I wasn't sure where we're going with this. Okay.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about now. Okay.
So Brian Last, you haven't heard this, right?
No, I haven't. See, I really haven't listened to a lot of Brian Last and Cornette over the last few months.
Here's the problem. The problem with six, because the new episode of 605 is fantastic, and he's got an interview with Tim Hornbaker, who's he's got a new book about the Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, right? He's got a new book about him, so it's really that interview is going to be buried because of all the other material that's on this fucking podcast. Hornbaker writes really good books, right?
Okay.
Here, the name of the book is Master of the Ring, The Life and Times of Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. And Hornbaker writes really good books. And if you get a chance, listen to the interview. But the middle of the 605 Super Podcast, he comes on. He's got Lou Kippelman, his producer, on. And he's got Stephen P. New, of course, the great consigliere of the Arcadian Vanguard and Cornette and everything, right? The greatest attorney in the history of West Virginia, for sure, Stephen P. New.
No doubt.
And if I ever run into any legal problems, I'll probably give this motherfucker a call because he sounds like he was at WrestleCade like 2 years ago. He had a booth set up.
No shit.
Yeah, he did. He might be. I don't know if he's gonna be there again this year. I don't know. He's like a huge fan and shit. So he goes, all right. I kind of teased this on Cornette's deal, but this is the reason that fucking Arezzi is no longer with us. So when he started fucking with Arezzi a few years ago and having him on 605. Rezzy's like, man, I want to do something with you. I want to do something with you, Brian. And we'll just do, like, I've got all these tapes from the old Wrestling Spotlight, and we'll just do them. And he goes, fine, we'll do something. But then all of a sudden, he goes, there's this dude down in Alabama who's really fucking rich and shit. And he's like trying to, he's talking to me and stuff. And Brian goes, okay, we'll go, you know, go see what the dude wants. And he never says Conrad's name. He never says Conrad's name. Last does it during the entire podcast, but it's like so fucking obvious that it's Conrad. And later on, he makes fun of Conrad's voice and says, instead of ad-free shows, he calls it ball-free shows. I think he called him a castrata, which in Italian means someone who's been castrated.
Damn.
He goes, you don't get that voice for a reason. I went, oh, geez.
Lord.
Conrad has no bass in his voice.
Okay.
So Arezzi goes and he talks to Conrad, and I had heard this from another source. Apparently, Connie is obsessed with fucking Brian Last. He's got a single white female thing going on with Brian Last. I can't explain it.
Really?
Yeah. I had heard from another source who was hanging out with Conrad one time. And he goes, God damn, that fucking Brian Last. And the guy goes, you know what Brian Last doesn't have? Millions of dollars, you fat ass. Get over it. You know? So Arezzi comes back to Brian and to Last, and Last goes, well, what did the guy say? And he goes, dude, it was all about you. He invited you to StarCast and you never emailed him back or responded. He wanted to advertise on Cornette's podcast. You never responded. He just wants to work with you on stuff. And what should I tell him? And Brian Last goes, tell him whatever you want. And then Rezzi goes, well, what should I say? And Last goes, nothing. And then Rezzi goes, well, what should I tell him? And Last goes, tell him anything you want. And he said they went around and around like this for a while. He goes, Last just doesn't like the content that Connie puts out. And he says it's like historically inaccurate. And apparently a few years ago, Pritchard had approached Brian Last about doing some shit when they were going to take her. And he said that his words, Pritchard's words at that time, were that he and Connie were going to be the Vince McMahon of podcasts. And Last is like, nah, I don't like what you guys are doing. And I consider what you're doing to be garbage content. And I'm just not interested. So he didn't do that. So they had that one meeting, and then it just keeps, you know, Arezzi kind of just keeps the door open. They're still doing the Wrestling Spotlight Then and Now, which was a really good podcast. Brian puts a ton of effort into producing it. His team has to produce it, script it out, get the clips ready, all the stuff they have to do. And they're devoting like a ton of time to it and stuff. But this Connie thing keeps creeping back up. And
did you ever listen to that podcast a lot? The Arezzi?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was really and I think you would enjoy it also from a radio guy point of view, because he's starting at this little shit AM station with awful equipment and stuff. And eventually he kind of graduates. He kind of gets the show in order to where it's not just like a shit show. And he gets it to a better station where it's technically a little bit better. And he kind of matriculates on. So it was interesting from that point of view. And there's some really, really good early appearances from like Mick Foley and Heyman is great on there and stuff. And it was very interesting.
Okay.
So Arezzi's getting in this thing where, you know, he publishes the book, he monetizes that, and he's like, shit, I've just got all this memorabilia. I want to find a way to fucking, you know, monetize on this shit. And I want to cash out. He said, I want to cash out. I want to just go and I want to live in Florida, just fuck around on the beach and go to Mets spring training games. That's what I want to do. So he's talking to Connie again, and Connie's like, well, I mean, we could do this and that. And he's got this, apparently John Arezzi's got this footage from Madison Square Garden of Andre the Giant, which is super rare. And then Pritchard and Connie are like, well, we can get you $250,000 for that. And Last is like, okay, I don't know how that's going to happen. And we've got this new prowrestling.com website we're coming out with, and we can pay you like between $7,500 and $10,000 a month for content on prowrestling.com. Shit. And then they're like, Rezzi's like, I want to do a motion picture, a documentary or biopic of my life. And Connie's like, well, shit, I can get you involved with that. I can hook you up with Eric Bischoff. So there was this weekend in Atlanta where Arezzi has driven down from Nashville, where he lives, to go see the Braves and the Mets. And he's hanging out. And fucking Bischoff calls him in the middle of the game. John fucking leaves the game. John Arezzi leaves the game. And then Bischoff has him on. There's some, I don't know. Last said that Bischoff has some sort of radio show in Montana or Wyoming or where the fuck he is. And Arezzi was on that show. So Brian.
So wait a minute, hold on. So he called him. Bischoff called him from his show to be on.
I think he called him during the game, and he was like going to talk to him about the biopic and stuff. And so John leaves the game, and they're like, "Oh, hey, wait, my show's coming up. Why don't you be on my show?" So
okay.
He puts him on the show. He's like on the radio show. So you know, Last is like, it's really kind of not okay that somebody else is trying to poach one of my guys. I don't like that. And he's telling John, he goes, look, I want you to go talk to Connie, make the best deal you can. Just, you know, I want you to get a ton of fucking money. It'd be great. I'm going to give you a deadline, July 25th. Just give me some kind of answer. Just give me an answer. And if we're not going forward, it's okay. It's a business thing. You go with him. You make a shit ton of money. And I'll continue on my way. I've got all these other things going on. And he said during that period of time, which was like 3 weeks from July 4th or the 3rd through the 25th, Last goes, it was great. I had time to do stuff. I had time to spend with my kids. I think they had the new baby that was either coming or was born. He's like, it was great. I wasn't spending all this time on this fucking Arezzi pod, on this podcast and shit. And he's talking to Conrad. So they have a meeting, or they have a conference call on July 26th. And he goes, all right, John, where do we stand? What are we doing? And John goes, well, nothing is imminent. So Brian Last goes, wow. Well, what I had hoped you would say was, I fucked up. I flirted with somebody else. I don't want to be with them. I want to be with you. Let's just go forward with this. And I'm going to turn off that. And that's not going to happen anymore. That Conrad stuff is out the window. I'm Arcadian Vanguard all the way. And that's what I'm going to do. And Last goes, yeah, that's not the right answer. I can't have you half-assing this stuff. And I can't be devoting all of this time with my staff and myself to the show with you playing footsie over there with Roll Tide. How'd they do last night? How'd they do last night? That work out for you? Roll Tide! So he's like, all right, fine. And he cuts off Arezzi, and then they're going to do away with the Patreon thing. And then Arezzi's very concerned about, what's the messaging going to be, Brian? Well, Brian goes, I'm going to tell the truth. Yeah. But what's the messaging going to be? And Lass is like, I'm going to tell everybody the truth, that you had this big, huge, rich guy in Alabama trying to flirt with you and didn't really give you anything, and you couldn't stop your dick from getting hard, and now we're not working together anymore. And so he, there's some funny stuff. There was some funny stuff. You have to listen to it. He's like, I do. He said, Brian said, I do regret one thing when I was talking about it on the Cornette show back this summer. I do regret saying that Arezzi didn't lie, because there was something about John Arezzi was like, I never said who it was who I was negotiating with. I never said that. And Brian's like, bullshit. I know exactly. Everybody knew exactly who it was. There was no question about it for you to like do that at this point. But he's like Brian Last is now threatening to, like, if Arezzi continues to lie about it, he's gonna like reveal some more details and stuff. And every time he says something about it, apparently Arezzi sends him a DM going, please, please just leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
So what has Arezzi been saying? I mean, has he been going around saying just different stuff, or is he sticking to some
I don't know why Brian. I don't know. I didn't do anything wrong.
He's stupid. Okay.
And I'll from time to time, being the obnoxious prick that I am, I'll go on Arezzi's page and I'll go, I'm not motherfucking him or anything. I'm like, I think it's terrible what you did to Brian Last playing footsie with Conrad like that. I think it's just terrible. And Arezzi will be like, where are you getting your information? That's not what happened. And it's like 100 times worse than I'm even like intimating, right? So then he wraps up the Arezzi part of it, and he goes, and then the Rod Fuller part of it. This will blow your fucking mind. This will blow your fucking mind. So
this we haven't got the Rod Fuller yet. Sheesh.
Oh, and I just figured, it's no big deal. It was too much work. Ron didn't like the splits. Whatever. They went their separate ways.
Right.
Tad more to it than that. So you remember the big gathering show in Charlotte this summer?
Yes, I do.
When Matt Cardona won the GCW title over Nick Cage, and everybody freaked out and all that shit.
That's not when he beat Nick Cage, right? Was that?
Yeah, Nick Cage.
It was. Okay, that's right.
They had the convention there, and all the stars were there, and people are signing and all that shit. And Lou Kippelman gets this really weird call from Diana, who is Ron Fuller's girlfriend, live-in girlfriend. And he doesn't really know her that well. She's been in the background of some of the stuff. Ron Fuller doesn't wear earbuds or headphones or anything, so you pick up a lot of background noise and shit from the room, and sometimes Diana will be like, "Hi, how you doing?" No, it's just horrific shit.
Right.
So she gets a voicemail. It's kind of a cryptic voicemail, and it kind of troubles Lou. And Lou calls her back, and she details, like, she says that Ron Fuller has been verbally and physically abusive to her for who knows how long, but she's telling Lou Kippelman, who she doesn't know that well. And they had about a 45-minute conversation about how certain things had happened. And there was this story from, I think, earlier this year where she allegedly, like, tripped and then hit her head on the pavement in the driveway. But no, that was him striking her. And she's unloading all that stuff on Lou. And meanwhile, here comes Ron back into the hotel room, and she goes, "Oh," Diana goes, "Okay, Lou, well, I got to go. Ron's here. Bye-bye." And she hangs up. So Lou calls Brian Last, and Last goes, "Man, I'm right in the middle of something. Let me call you back in about half an hour." Last calls him back. Lou details all this shit about Ron Fuller and about, like, "Well, fuck." And he's like, I don't know what we do about that. I'm not sure exactly what to do. So I think Lou or Brian, one of them made an attempt to call Diana back and just say, "Hey, you know, you told me some pretty disturbing stuff the other night. I just wanted to check in and make sure that you're okay, that, you know, that you're all right." And I think Fuller ended up being, I think he left Charlotte early, went back to Knoxville. They'd already moved back to Knoxville from Panama City, or from Pensacola, sorry, from Pensacola. He talks to Diana, and she goes, "Oh yeah, everything's fine. Ron's here. I got to go. Bye." And they're like, "Oh shit. Well, that's not good." Meanwhile, they're talking to other people, and there was some sort of intimation or inference that it might've actually been Robert. It might've been Ron's brother, Rob, that, like, they were like, "Yeah, I've heard this stuff before." And then somebody said that they'd seen some bruises on Diana and stuff. So they were like,
they think it's Robert, his brother, doing this to her?
No, that Robert could confirm that this had happened.
Maybe. Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I'm sorry. Okay.
That was what I got out of it. They were like, gotcha. We can't say who this person is or what the relationship is, but they were, that this had happened. And, you know, it's always wrong for a man to lay his hands on a woman, but when you get a 6'7" motherfucker that's manhandling a woman, that's even, you know, that's even worse, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they were trying to do something where they were like, "Okay, here's the deal, Diana." And I don't know if they texted to her, like, "We're going to have a code word or something, and the mic's going to be on during the podcast. If you say this code word, then we're going to know that something's not right. If you say banana or something, you know, something like that." And I don't think they ever got her to do that, and they never got her to do any of that stuff. And they were like, "We just don't know what to do." And as far as, like, they had heard through another party had given Diana some resources in the greater Knox County area where she could go in terms of getting some help for victims of domestic violence. But Ron Fuller had eventually, at the end of the, it was right around the same time as the Arezzi thing happened on July the 26th. There had been a lot of stuff going on with that Fuller podcast before this shit. Like, Ron was getting historical shit wrong, which is something you don't do with Brian Last. And then when he would be called out on it, he was insisting that it was, like, the truth. They would have to script the entire show to take Ron out of it a lot. Ron was insisting on the Super Studcast that, like, Brian do most of the heavy lifting on that. And then Ron started fucking with the money. The Patreon money was supposed to be split. Ron wasn't sending the checks. So that's when Brian Last goes, "Fuck it. It's over." And Ron sends him an email and goes, "I don't know what happened. I'm not sure what's going on. But can you still help me do this and put the thing up and do this audio?" And
play the Arezzi card.
Yeah. And then Brian goes, "Nope, we're done." And he's like, "Ron owes us, like, money. I don't think I'm ever going to see it." But that was, you know, the end of it. Now, I'll say this from my point of view about the domestic violence stuff. As a 911 operator and dispatcher, and by the way, you got to see the Jake Gyllenhaal movie, The Guilty, on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
unintentionally one of the funnier movies I've ever seen in my entire life. So he plays a cop who is demoted to dispatcher.
Oh, yes. I'm, that started off real well with you, I'm sure.
They've had to correct that. They've had to correct that on Netflix and say that he was reassigned.
Reassigned. Okay, that sounds so much better. Jeez almighty.
And I'm like, I'm going to tell you this. This is just a sidebar, and I'll get back to the Brian Last story with Diana and Ron Fuller and stuff. I'm watching the movie, and I'm going, okay, I'm going to keep an open mind about this. I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm going to look at this because I like Jake Gyllenhaal as an actor. He's always been very good in anything he's been in. He's really good. I'm just going to open, because I know it's not going to be realistic of what we do, but if they did a movie that was 100% realistic to what we do, it would be boring as shit and nobody would watch it. Okay.
Right. Right.
I understand. And you can ask anybody in any profession, if there's a welding movie out there, people go, that's not what welding's like. You know, all the doctors, well, you
flash think those, dance. You
know, of course. That's exactly right. So I'm watching the movie. Within 5 minutes, somebody's overdosing and he's saying, well, sir, you got yourself into this. It's your fault. You can't do that.
What?
Yeah, he's saying that to dudes. He's getting cops on the phone. This is great. He's trying to get the highway patrol on the phone. This was the most realistic thing, and you'll appreciate this. How hard is it to get the highway patrol on the phone,
Brian? Oh Lord.
Whether it's California, whether it's, you know, Nebraska, I don't give a shit. It's always hard to get those fuckers on the phone. He gets them on the phone. He begs them to shut down the freeway if they won't do it. And he says, well, what about air support? Like, he's calling air support. As a dispatcher, you can't really do that.
Yeah, you can't suggest shit like that.
He's getting cops on the phone going, go to the guy's house and kick the fucking door in. You can't do that. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. He's walking away from his position, allegedly, like, as officers might have radio traffic, like, oh, I'm being stabbed by a gang. He's over fucking getting coffee. Like, just like walking up and get away from his position. So it's unintentionally one of the funny. I honestly.
Damn it, I'm a dispatcher.
Me and my girlfriend, who was also a dispatcher, were watching it, and we were just dying for like the first 10 sure. minutes. Because it's just like so funny.
I can't imagine telling any of those guys what to do.
Jesus, getting on the phone and telling
the dispatcher I wasn't even a 911. I was even lower on the scale of a dispatcher.
Right.
I can't imagine saying that shit.
Yeah, you tell the guy, get in your truck and you get back over there and pick up that mattress. That's what it would be like. You get back on I-40, you get back there and you get that mattress. That's what it would be like. It was like,
no, that's exactly what it would have been like.
You can't do that. You wouldn't do that. You just don't do that shit. So I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes reviews, and some of them really nailed it. I can't think of anything worse that Jake Gyllenhaal's been in. I really can't. I really can't.
So what was it? Just like it was like the life of a dispatcher kind of thing, or what was it more?
It goes through like a day with him at work, and he's going through. He's got this one call that's really bothering him about this woman that's been abducted, and then there's a twist, and then it's just the stuff that he does is like completely.
That's a busy day.
It's a very.
You ever had a busy day like that?
It's like training day or something. Like, you know, training day is like one day in the guy's life or whatever.
Right. Okay.
So as a dispatcher, I've received a lot of calls from people out of state that are hundreds of miles away from a domestic situation, and they don't have a lot of details. They might have, you know, I need an address. That's the most important thing you can give me is an address. And then they'll say, well, I got a text from my sister and she says, help. And I'm like, okay. And if that's all you have to go on, that's all you have to go on. And you send the cops out there and then they ask. And then if there's obvious signs of abuse, if the person has a black eye, if the person has, you know, bruises and stuff, then, you know, there can be some action taken legally. Right.
Right.
And you're seeing this with the Brian Laundry and Gabby Petito case, right? You're seeing that, oh, she said she initiated it and then there weren't any physical signs of abuse on her and blah, blah, blah. And now she's dead. And there's some people who are critical of the cops and stuff. And, you know, there's various opinions on that.
Yeah.
My thing is, my point on all this is, if Brian Last and Lou Kippelman called the dispatch center in Knox County and said, hey, we've got an address. want you to go out there. There's a woman named Diana. There's a guy named Ron, Ron Welch. And she has, we have this, she had this conversation with Lou, and there's been some allegations of violence, and we need you to send the cops out there and see what's going on. Now, if they get there and the cops see bruises on Diana, they see, you know, welts on her face, whatever, then they can take some appropriate action and take out warrants and maybe get him arrested. If they get there, there's no signs of abuse, she denies the whole thing, then they, she may be in a worse position than she was before they called. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So that's the difficult position that I'm in. Or not I'm in, but that Brian Last and Lou Kiffman is. If you have this information, and should you go to the, and they would be, like I said, they would be well within their rights to go and report it. I don't know of a jurisdiction in America that wouldn't send an officer out to the house if they had an address. I think everybody would at least send an officer out there or two to question, hey, this is what's happening. And then, you know, split the parties up and go, hey, say the you know, and which is what they did in the Gabby Petito things. They got her in a separate little spot from the guy, and they were like, no, you tell us what's really going on. Do you know, we can help you out. There's resources for you. But again, if they send, if the Knox County authorities go out there and she goes, nope, everything's fine. I don't know what they're talking about. It's, you know, it's everything's fine. Everything's kosher here. And those guys are just making shit up. Then yeah, she might be actually in a more dangerous spot than she was originally.
Right. Absolutely. Shit.
So that's the John Arezzi and the Ron Fuller story about why those guys are no longer on the Arcadian Vanguard.
Wow. Network. That lived up to the expectation of man, what the hell happened? You know,
I was getting pissed at him because you know, the thing kept getting delayed, and he has Stephen P. New on the line with him the whole time, so that if he fucks up and says something that's going to get him in some sort of legal jeopardy, they can edit it out, you know, not put it out as part of the podcast. And Stephen goes, nope, you're covered. You're telling the truth, all this stuff. And then as far as the Arezzi stuff, there was some allegation that Arezzi had made of a non-disclosure agreement. And Last is like, I never signed an NDA with anybody about that shit. Last goes, I've got some NDAs with some musicians, with some musical artists that I've had dealings with over the years, but I don't have anything. The other thing that, like, Diana was pissed off when Ron got fired from Arcadian Vanguard, and she was like texting Lou Kiffelman, like, ah, Brian's a piece of shit, and he's buying this million dollar house up in New York or whatever. And she tells Lou, you better get something in writing. And Last goes, all right, Lou, you want something in writing? Write something up. I'll sign whatever you want. So I certainly hope that there's, you know, if there's a situation like this, and it's very, very dire.
Well, that is disappointing, serious. Man. I mean, in all it seriousness, is. I mean, it's a lot more dramatic than I wanted it to be or expected it to be. I'll put it that way.
I'll never give Ron Fuller another penny of my money. I mean,
oh God, no. I was thinking the year I almost went to see him at WrestleCade one year when he was his Colonel. What's his face?
Oh, that's Rob.
That's Rob.
Rob is the Colonel, whatever it was. Yeah.
Was I get them mixed up. See, Ron, well, never mind.
Ron was the big Tennessee stud, and then Rob was the Colonel Parker.
Parker, yeah,
Colonel Parker, and then he was Tennessee Lee as well. He was the guy
Tennessee
that managed
Lee. Him. I remember Tennessee Lee.
Yeah, that's Rob, and we don't have any information about him being untoward toward anyone or anything of that nature.
All right, well, good. Let's hope not.
At least somebody in that. It's the most bizarre thing to me. It's very odd. And then there were some also hints that Brian made about Ron's health not being that great. And the way he made it sound was like it was possibly something mental, like dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that. So
now Ron's older, right?
I think he is. You know, Ron played a year of basketball at Clemson. And because there was no girls around, they were just transitioning from being a military school. He was like, fuck this. And he went down to Miami and he played basketball at the University of Miami for three years. And then his dad said, well, fuck this. You're going to go ahead and start making some money. We can now report that the Jacksonville Jaguars have lost their 20th consecutive football game.
Congratulations.
Titans 37, Jaguars 19. So Tony Khan's other project, kicking ass and taking names.
5.
Doing some good.
Losing 0-5. I can't. It's I'm trying to make an 0-5, but I can't do it. It's all reversed.
I don't think he's. I still believe he's not going to last the season. I don't think Urban Meyer is going to last the season. That's my theory, anyway.
No, I can't imagine.
But then again, I'm like, he may have fucked himself out of the SC job too.
Well, if SC is smart, then but they also hired other people, so I'm not going to get into all that.
But then it looks very much like that job at LSU is going to be open as well. So that
you think that might happen?
Oh, Kentucky driving the nail into Orgeron's coffin last night. Holy shit. Man. Yeah. Well,
I mean, Orgeron, former USC head coach, by the way.
Oh, that's true. He was an interim, right? For a while after they fired
him. Yeah, for a minute. And then they got Mr. Sarkisian.
You can't really imagine Ed Orgeron. Like, how did he fit into Southern California with. You know, I just don't see that working in Southern California.
Shinubariba.
What did you fucking say? Back to the wrestling. I did see, SmackDown did not have a lot of Roman Reigns on it.
Not a lot. No, it didn't.
I mean, it was weird. I'm like.
No, I don't know. They had that one segment with Heyman and the Usos and talking about Lesnar and all that stuff.
But there was the King of the Ring stuff. They did the Queen thing, and then the reason people watch SmackDown is the Roman and Paul show. That is the reason.
Oh yeah,
the Usos are fine supporting characters, but that's the reason you tune into Friday Night SmackDown. And I don't know what's going to happen when they go to. I mean, they're trying to stack this thing a mile high for this FS1 show, this SmackDown Super Show coming up on Friday. Did you see? I was just looking at, you know, the reason that they have to move AEW Dynamite is because that NHL package on TNT,
right?
So they're just going to eat it with that NHL package for the rest of the year. It's like 10 o'clock games right after Dynamite all season up until January 1st, and then it's like double headers every Wednesday night. So I mean. I know the rights went up, and all of a sudden there was a bidding war, and there was a swoop in at the last minute. And they're like, the only thing that people are watching in real time is live sports. But you got to wonder. I just don't think the National Hockey League moves the needle that much. I just don't.
I don't know, man. Apparently, somebody thinks that hockey's made a, I don't know, resurgence or surgence or something into the sports media in the last couple of years. I don't know. I've just kind of got into it because my team is good. So, of course, I keep up with it more.
Sure.
But I don't know if that's it or not, man. I don't know if it's they see something or, you know, the deal was just too good to pass up kind of thing for whatever. I don't know, man. That's a good question.
It's I know it's a very loyal audience because they've gone from network to network to network and shitty presentation to shitty presentation. I guess the only real thing that the hardcore hockey fans like are the CBC, the Canadian broadcasting productions are supposed to be like godlike, you know, Hockey Night in Canada, which has been around since Jesus was a small child, right?
Yeah. Well, Sunday night, right?
I think that's it. You know, they used to use the hashtag HNIC, which doesn't mean what it's supposed to mean. In the United States. Did you happen to
But that's where football night in America, isn't that what they call it on NBC?
Yeah.
That's where they get it from.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Did you happen to see the Johnny K-9 Bruiser Bedlam episode of Dark Side of the Ring?
Didn't have any interest in seeing it. I'll go back and watch it at some point probably, but I started thinking Nick Gage and how much I didn't really get into that one. So I figured it would be like that one. So, well, I don't know. Was I right or
it's an interesting was it story. Okay or... It's an okay story. I mean, I think the last 2 weeks have been kind of not superstar blockbuster presentations of FMW and also this.
I didn't see that one either. I'll be honest.
It's okay. It's again, those are like, if you were going to miss a couple of episodes of Dark Side of the Ring, these would be the ones to miss in my opinion.
Okay, good. But I mean, I do have them saved up. I've got them recorded. So I mean, I can go back and watch them whenever. Yeah. I just didn't handy.
Well, when you just come off, you know, like in the plane ride from hell, and that just is such a bombshell that reverberates across the landscape. And then, you know, how do you follow that whole thing up? The Luna one. the Luna Vachon looks pretty good. And then, of course, the granddaddy mega main event is going to be the steroid trial. That's the one that everybody's waiting for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I'm waiting to see who all is going to be talking on that bad boy.
Oh, they got Jerry McDivitt. They got McDivitt to sit down. Like, he never talks to anybody about anything.
Well, and I mean, he's going to be coming from the lawyer for the WWE perspective. He's not going
exactly.
to be.
Exactly. But he's like, oh, my God.
He's not going to spill like, shit. He's not going to say anything.
He is. He's going to say shit. I mean, because he's under no disclosure agreement. He's bigger than the brand. He doesn't need Vince's money anymore.
He's not. You don't think so?
No. That guy's independently wealthy and part of his law firm. And that guy's he's cruising into retirement anyway. But he is the Prince of Darkness.
So you think? Yeah, he is. But do you think McDevitt's going to come out and say something big time?
I don't think he's going to say
that nobody else knows about.
I don't think he's going to say stuff that's negative toward Vince. I don't think that's going to happen at all. But
that's
kind
of what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah. No. He's going to spill some stuff that you've never heard before. But he's not going to say anything that's going to be derogatory toward the organization for sure. As we prepare for Crown
Jewel. Then I don't want to hear anything from him. Then.
Well, there's going to be some good insight and stuff into the trial.
I don't want to hear about how much. Such and such was shooting up that nobody ever talked about, and then not say anything derogatory about the WWE, who was obviously just letting it roll. I don't want to hear that shit. I want to hear the guys that got shot up and the guys were there that actually didn't shoot up, watching people shoot up. That's the people I want to hear from.
Well, I think they're going to be part of the episode as well. And you're going to hear about Zakori and you're going to hear all about that stuff. But I think there's a lot of technical stuff about what the FDA had approved, what they had not approved, what they had said steroids could do and could not do. I think you're going to get into that. And at the end of the day, I think you're going to look at McDevitt and go, I really hate this guy, but God damn,
I already do. I mean, just thinking about it.
He's a masterful lawyer. I mean, he's really like, if you were in trouble, this is the asshole you would want to represent you in court. This is the guy.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
This is the dude that you would want to have on your side because he'll. But when Vince was going against the government, it was just like when the terrorists attacked us on 9/11, Bryant.
It was. It was a day that will live in infamy.
The Briscoe brothers appeared at GCW Fight Club last night, challenging the GCW Tag Team Champions Jay and Mark Briscoe. Challenged Matthew Justice and Mance Warner after they, along with AJ Gray, defeated Alex Colon, G Raver, and Akira in a 6-man tag match. Warner cut a promo after the match saying there weren't any tag teams in pro wrestling that could challenge them. Hey, does that sound like something Kenny Omega said like a couple of weeks ago or something? That brought out the Briscoes, who immediately confronted the champions and answered their challenge. Announcers speculated when the match could happen. The Forbidden Door is now completely wide ass open, Brian.
Hey, unless you're Liv Morgan.
In that case, dude, don't Instagram with her. Don't engage with her. They're the enemy.
That sounds just like probably so. And again, we don't know this actually happened, but come on. Why? It all goes back to what I first said. Why would she lose to Carmella and nothing be made of it after everything that she's gone through with all these weird storylines about her losing and coming back and then losing and then coming back. And then here she loses and nobody says shit. She just lost.
You think this is clearly a punishment?
It seems that way. Yeah. That's what got me interested in what might be going on. That's why I even saw what I saw about the Laurinaitis thing.
I could see why people would say that. All right. Any closing remarks on another edition of another award-winning edition of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
No closing remarks. I think all my fired upness is gone after earlier.
You got to pace yourself, man. Pace yourself. No, that was good. I'm glad. It's good to hear the passion. Bryant can be followed on Instagram and also on Twitter at Bry Sports, BRY Sports. He's active on both those platforms, as he is on TikTok. At Stanley Jackson 23. Our show Twitter is at Katie Vick Alive. I am at Britt Whitmire, BRITTWHITMIRE on the Twitter machine. On Instagram, it's B-Dub for Reels, BDUB number 4, REELZ. Don't forget the Brad and Brittcast, which happens 4 days a week, and it's available wherever you get podcasts. If you want to hear about politics and stuff of that nature, that is the Brad and Brittcast. Follow us at Brad and Britt. If you want to support this show and what we do, At Katie Vick Alive is where you go to make your Amazon purchase. Or I'm sorry, at katievick.com. katievick.com. That is our Amazon store at katievick.com, and that helps us out a little bit. Does not change the price of the stuff that you're buying. We do appreciate every bit of your support. Until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.